Well, there will be a vote on eastern Ukraine's future on Sunday, despite a plea from Russian President Vladimir Putin that the vote should be delayed. Today, the pro-Russian insurgency in the region rejected that plea and said the referendum will go ahead as scheduled. Some 3 million ballots have been printed, and votes will be cast at polling places in local schools and hospitals. Oleksiy Solobenko is news editor at the BBC World Service. He's the former head of the BBC Ukrainian service, and he's with us now from London. Oleksiy, welcome.
Thank you.
So why did President Putin want this vote delayed, and what should we make of the decision today that they're going to go ahead with it anyway?
It depends how you want to read President Putin. If you want to read the big scheme, the master plan, the plan of deceit, plan of conspiracy, then he knew that perhaps the answer will be no, the answer will be negative, and then he will have the possibility to say, see, we told you we're not in control of these people, and we have nothing to do with what's going on in Ukraine. However, the opposite, the line that certainly the Ukrainian government sticks to, and many of the observers on the ground believe is true, is that perhaps, you know, he is not fully in control, but there was a lot of hot air, to quote the Ukrainian foreign minister. And in fact, what he should have said is not postpone the vote, but cancel the vote, because that vote certainly will not be recognized by the central authorities in Kiev and by the European Union. They already made a statement to that effect.
But they're not going to do either. It sounds like they will go ahead with the vote anyway. Why would they go against the wishes of President Putin?
Well, to stress their independence, to stress, to recreate perhaps the scenario that existed in Crimea when a vote was taken, believed to be illegal by the central authorities, and nevertheless, it was then a pretext to muddy the waters and to result in annexation. I think it will be a different scenario in eastern Ukraine, because those two regions where this is being planned are not similar to Crimea in terms of their ethnic mix, in terms of the fact that just now the Pew Research Center has published the latest opinion poll in that area, and even there, the majority of people want to live in a united Ukraine, albeit with greater decentralization, with greater autonomy. So it's a slightly different situation to what's going on in Crimea. But if you, as the president of the Russian Federation, want to keep Ukraine under control and want to keep Ukrainian government in a weakened position, then this fits into the master plan.
Oleksiy Solobenko, before I let you go, I want to ask you about something that happened in Russia this week. President Putin signed what they're calling the Bloggers Law that will require online writers in Russia, bloggers with more than 3,000 readers, to register with the government. What do you make of that?
Well, I think this is one more step along the line of greater control. I think television is almost totally, well, not almost, it's practically totally controlled by the Kremlin and the supporters of the current cause. In newspapers, there are still slightly dissenting voices, but those voices are being squeezed out of the market.
But is it a sign of insecurity that President Putin would do this right now?
I think so. Well, I think this is the build-up of the previous policy of greater control over everything, basically, in terms of the media, in terms of the political discourse. But I think what is dangerous about this particular law, that it's not just the blogger's law, but what happens is, if you have more than 3,000 users or followers, you are being monitored by the specialist controlling agency, which is the Russian Media Supervision Administration. And if, for example, you voice a disagreement or voice a support, for example, for the Ukrainian cause, you know, which is now regarded to be extremist in Russian legislation, or if you use swearing, or if you use kind of derogatory comments about a certain politician, not necessarily libelous, you're in for trouble. I think you can be actually pursued through the courts, or even without the courts. You can have several warnings, and you can have damages that will be very, very punitive, and you may be closed down. So I think it doesn't sound good, and I think certainly lots of Russian bloggers are very worried about what's going on in what remained the last bastion of free speech in Russia.
That's the BBC's Oleksiy Solobenko, a news editor at the World Service, former head of the Ukrainian service at the BBC. Oleksiy, thanks so much.
My pleasure.